The Old Testament lesson is recorded in Ezekiel chapter 17, verses 22 to 24. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is recorded in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For if we walk by faith, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him, for their sake, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. These words serve as our sermon text. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak it to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Where there is life, there is growth taking place. Even when our physical growth begins to decline, we can still be growing mentally and spiritually. Growth is also a primary feature in God's kingdom. It is through the use of God's word that Jesus builds and enlarges his kingdom. As we consider the text this morning from Mark 4, we examine the theme, the word of God grows. My fellow redeemed, growing by God's grace through his word in Christ Jesus. We begin by stating that it grows gradually, which is our first point. Our text begins as the seed of the word is sown. The kingdom of God is like a man who casts seed upon the ground. We all know very well, if there's going to be a harvest, seeds must first be planted in the ground. God uses his church to plant the seed of his word in the lives of people. Pastors are called to plant that word. The people have an obligation to plant that word. It is a work that is done together in the church. But the people in the pew have at least four distinct advantages over the pastor. Number one, there are more of you than our one pastor. Number two, you are where the unbelieving world is. You may work right next to some of these people if you're still in the workforce. Number three, you can continue to have direct contact with that person. And fourthly, your witness is more readily trusted. You plant and sow that word as a satisfied customer versus the paid salesman. That's what the pastor's supposed to do, but you know, that's what the laity are to do as well. Someone once said, every Christian either a missionary or needs one. So how are we doing in that regard? Are we guilty of not doing much sowing with the word of God? Because we are still in the come to us mode instead of going and reaching and confessing to others' approach. You know, you can simply say, I'm a member of Zion Lutheran Church and we worship at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Or as I said last night to the Saturday night crowd, we worship at 6 p.m. Or you can be a little more intentional. And I think this is where we fall short. You can ask, what time can I pick you up on Sunday morning? What time can I pick you up on Saturday night? None of us here today would be a Christian if it were not for the care and concern of someone else who brought us into contact with the means of grace. Sometimes I think we have to admit that we really don't take his word seriously enough. Do we have a family altar? A time for scripture and prayer as a family? Portals of prayer are an excellent tool, and a prayer list to go along with that. A strong root structure is necessary for corn to grow. God wants our spiritual roots to dig deep into God's word, to receive the daily sustenance so that we can withstand the spiritual onslaughts that the devil is continually throwing at us. Temptation comes from the devil. Luther's been pointing that out very clearly as I read through his one commentary on selected psalms. The sowing of God's word happens whenever and wherever God's word is properly proclaimed and taught. Now, we're not always going to see immediate results, but as long as we continue to faithfully plant that word, God will bring about the growth and the harvest just as he promised. That word that we plant contains both law and gospel. As to the law, as we learned in the catechism, according to the scriptures, I am by nature spiritually blind, dead, and an enemy of God. That's the way it is. Someone once said, it is harder to get someone lost than it is to get them found. What he meant was, it's hard to get people to see, admit, and realize their sins and the fact that they have a need for the Savior Jesus. Luther continued, therefore, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. Spiritual deadness is dead. It needs to be resurrected to life. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit through word and sacrament. The gospel is the work of Christ Jesus on our behalf. It is the done-for-you reality. It is centered in the cross. The Bible says, and when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And in Isaiah it says, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sin. That's all he's done for you and continues to do for you. The word grows gradually as the seed develops. We can do all the necessary things to prepare the ground, to nurture the plant after it has emerged. And yet that plant and seed grows in a mysterious way. The text says, and he goes to bed at night and gets up by day, and the seed sprouts up and grows, how he himself does not know. Crops and gardens and flowers grow in ways which we cannot fully explain. Sometimes when we sow the word of God, it's easy to become discouraged because the growth is hidden or it's so very slow. We should never lose heart, though, as we have God's promise that growth will occur. In Isaiah, we are told, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Our joy is to plant his word, and we leave the results to the Holy Spirit. The Word of God grows, and while learning to be patient with the growth process, we must also realize that the Word grows inconspicuously, which is our second point. And Jesus uses the mustard seed to explain this point. He says, it is like a mustard seed when sown upon the ground, that it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the ground. And when it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants. Now, the particular religious leaders of Jesus' day gave little notice to the word of God that was growing in their midst. I recently ran across these statistics, and there's a real disconnect, a A survey said that 70% of Americans consider themselves to be Christian. Another stat says that 60% of the nation is unchurched, meaning not claimed by any Christian church. Somehow there's a real disconnect. The Christian church is growing in places like China and Africa. Did you know there are more Lutherans in Africa than in any part of the world? In those places, particularly Africa, there is open persecution for the faith. You're not going to hear about it on the major networks. But Islam's goal for a long time has been to wipe out Christianity in Africa. And in the midst of those threats, we are reminded what Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes." We have a word that is powerful, more powerful than the evils of Islam. The word of God can operate in such an inconspicuous way that we are not even aware that growth is taking place. Luther said, "When the word of Christ is preached, I am in your mouth and I pass with the word through your ears into your heart." So then we have a sure sign and know that when the gospel is preached, God is present and would have himself found there," end quote. We can't see faith, for that is hidden. But we can see the fruits of faith. The text says, as the hymn says that we sang, "The earth produces crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, then the mature grain in the head." Just as that growth is a mystery, so also conversions to Christ Jesus continue to happen when and where it pleases God. So God wants us to be growing as his children. You know, growth can be as simple as learning love and patience in dealing with difficult people whom we encounter, and we all encounter them. We don't go looking for them. They just exist. But when we fail in our love and patience, and we do, and we will, it is comforting again to hear how God has dealt with us. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. To know that we are forgiven brings us peace, hope, and comfort each day. The word of God grows, and there is evidence of rather impressive growth, which is our final point. Think about it. The word of God, which was sown in a little corner of the world, has spread to all nations, though yet not all people groups have been reached. The word has survived the test of time because it is God's word. Luther put it this way: it is not the word of God because the church says so, but that the word of God might be spoken. Therefore, the church comes into being. The church does not make the word, but it is made by the word. End quote. And Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Our text carries an eschatological thrust when it speaks of the harvest. When someone comes to faith, that is a picture of the harvest. But the final harvest will come when Jesus returns on the last day. Jesus said and promises, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. Our concern must be for those who are outside of the kingdom of God, and for those who are no longer confessing Christ Jesus as their Savior. To those, Jesus simply says, repent and believe the gospel. Jesus also promises, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. In the name and completed work of Jesus, amen.